We're going on a crazy, crazy ride. First, before we do it, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners that are sticking with us through all this. I know I'm going slower. I just, life is just busy and summer, and I got a puppy, and it's like more responsibility than I thought. Super hard. But
having a
really
baby,
cool,
harder than a baby.
Yeah, it is like having a baby, a little fur baby that is very high maintenance. Cats are so much easier. I love a dog, but oh my gosh, are cats easy?
Yeah.
But we're still gaining new listeners, which I'm so grateful for. So if you're new, thank you, thank you. Please subscribe, help some girls out, and spread the word if you like it. If you don't, just be quiet. So, like, I heard from some friends that are in Florida and Georgia, and they're loving it, and I am so grateful. I love it. I love that people get it, like, where I am, why I'm doing this, why we spend this time, and it just brings joy to my heart. I love it. It makes me happy.
Yay.
So thank you. Thank you. And then, before we get into the episode, I just want to read a couple more of our funny court quotes.
Okay.
These are actual quotes from the trial transcript stuff. Says, attorney, do you recall the time that you examined the body? Witness, the autopsy started about 8:30 p.m. And Mr. Denton was dead at the time? Witness, if not, he was by the time I finished.
I think the attorney forgot who he was talking to. Like,
I think he did.
I just thought I'd cut him in a Y across his chest and open him up. Don't mind me, it's not going to hurt. It'll only hurt for a minute.
Right. Here's another one. Attorney, all your responses must be oral, okay? What school did you go to? Witness, oral.
That's funny.
I'm just going to do one more.
Okay.
Attorney, were you present when your picture was taken? Witness, are you shitting me?
I don't even know what to say to that one.
But I love it. So
that's funny.
So this case was really unique because I don't usually work for public defenders. I do on the federal side with white collar stuff, but I don't work for the state because state cases are usually blue collar stuff, right?
Okay.
Like drugs, rape, sex assault, like anything blue collar.
Okay.
And I don't usually work for those public defenders. So this actually was a case that my client was a homeless guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And his attorney was Jack. Yes.
Oh, you're kidding.
One of the very, very top lawyers in the state that is very expensive.
So, yeah. So I know some attorneys, and I love this out of respect for them. Once they make a higher mark, lots of them will do pro bono. Is this kind of what that was a pro bono where he donates back to the community?
That makes sense. That does make sense. But I personally have never heard of Jack doing anything like that. So,
okay. So there are attorneys that actually do it, but maybe not Jack. Okay.
There are some attorneys that do it, but I don't think Jack did it. There's a lot of stuff Jack did, but free work is not one of the things I know of him doing.
Okay. All right.
So I get the case and Jack was like, hey, I need you to go to the jail and talk to our client. He said it's a sex case. That's always how I'd hear about.
Okay.
That they'd categorize it. That could mean sex assault could mean everything from touching to actual rape. That term sex assault covers the whole gamut. And you don't know what it is until you get into it.
Right. So I think that's very, very interesting because whenever I heard sexual assault, I thought it had to be rape until I started as an admin in my school. And then I learned a lot. As an administrator, a school administrator, I learned that it could be slapping on the butt, like you said, grabbing someone, flipping a bra strap. I mean, it seems trivial stuff, but I didn't realize that that's where it started. And then it could go into abuse or rape or, other things. Yep. So it was quite an eye opener. Not a happy one, but learning something.
Right. Well, I get the discovery. So I read through the discovery. Here's the deal. I didn't know all the details, but I knew this one actually pissed me off. Not that he was charged, but he was charged with sexually assaulting a mentally disabled okay. janitor.
Oh.
And
okay.
I hate bullies. That's why I do
right.
defense
right.
work, because I think a lot of prosecutors are bullies.
Okay.
If you are not mentally challenged and you are assaulting someone who is, you're a bully.
True. Like, true. And even if they're not mentally issues,
right,
you're a bully.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. No, I totally you're a bully. Get it. Mm-hmm. You're a bully. Yeah. But if it's someone that's mentally challenged, it's like a totally different level.
I agree. Totally like, agree.
Wait a minute. Are you so weak that you have to hurt someone weak physically, mental, like overpower someone? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Ah, that's yeah. so wrong.
Yeah.
But again, I never know what's going on a case until I get there and start talking, because I don't know what the truth is. I know what they've been charged with, uh-huh. but I don't know what the truth is. So I get to the jail. They bring this guy in for a visit, and he's like probably in his 50s. This was a few years back, so
okay,
I was like in my 30s.
Okay.
And, you know, we kind of, when you're young, don't you think people older than you should have their acts together better than this? So I'm
well,
like,
yes, what? Until I'm that age now, and I'm like, shit, no. Hell no! Okay.
Yeah. So I start talking to the guy, and here's what I learned. He's homeless.
Okay.
And he was homeless at the time that this happened. He was actually living... Now, and this is a few years back, so now we have a homeless problem. Our homeless problem is just bigger and bigger and getting crazier and awful.
Right.
This was probably 20 years ago, I said, like when okay. I was in my 30s.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have a lot of homeless people in Utah at that
right.
time.
Right,
we have more now.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
But
we have more all over the country. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, totally.
But at mm-hmm. that time, there were not a lot of homeless people. And this guy, he was living in one of the buildings at the University of Utah. He would sleep under a stairwell.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, really? How did you not get kicked out? And
yeah, how did security not find you? Yeah.
And what I learned was that his dad had been a professor at the U.
Oh.
And because of that, people kind of knew him.
They kind of let it slide.
Kind of like, oh, Dr. So-and-so's kid.
There's Jim over there. Yeah.
And so they mm-hmm. they kind of just let it happen. And he would,
I kind of took care of him. Was aware. Well, at least he's
a
safe.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't think he was dangerous, just mm-hmm. that he was yeah. homeless. And these are his words. He explains to me that he went into the bathroom. And he would always use the bathrooms there. It was a nice place for him to live.
And clean up.
He used
yeah.
as his like home base, because there are always bathrooms. And then most people would leave in the evening, so it was quiet. It was safe for him. And this is not a big guy. He was probably like 5'7", maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. And maybe like 160 pounds. Not
okay.
a big man.
Okay.
And he would watch this mentally disabled guy, and that would clean the floors. He'd go, you know, down the halls and into the bathrooms and...
Yeah, doing custodial work. Yeah.
I read this, and he knew the guy. He knew the custodian from having lived there for a while. And they'd kind of become friends. And he decided one day that he would just follow him in the bathroom and sexually assault him.
Wait, so he's telling you this? That I just decided today I was going to follow this little janitor into the bathroom and sexually assault him.
But him, he didn't call it sexually assault. It was like... That, you know, we joked around, and I thought he felt the same way. What made you think that he felt the same way? Well, because he was friendly with me.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw something out here. I don't know if you'll answer it right now or not. But was your homeless man mentally not stable also?
I think he was not stable.
Okay.
We didn't have information specifically to that, but I think he was not stable.
Not excusing the behavior.
No.
That's a weird flip of, oh, they're nice to me. Well, actually,
yeah.
you know what? I'm taking that back, because I think that's how women are raped a lot.
Exactly. I was just
nice to me. She was friendly.
Yeah.
I knew she wanted me.
I knew
yeah.
she wanted
it. Yeah. Okay. So I take that back.
Exactly.
Crazy
yeah.
Crazy.
So it's actually pretty consistent with what I'd heard from other clients.
Okay.
So this guy, he goes in, you know, and they put like the bathrooms closed. So,
yes,
the
sign. Mm-hmm.
So he knew that no one would disturb them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he goes in there and pins this young man up against the counter and takes his pants down and the stuff. He did not rape him, but he sexually assaulted him. And I won't go into details because I don't think anyone wants to hear any of that.
No, we don't. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
It's also something that I think you've explained enough that we got the picture. Like, we don't need to know the details.
No.
But knowing that something happened, it wasn't just like, oh, I leaned on him, rubbed on him, and then I walked out. You know, so, okay.
Yeah. And then he leaves, and I personally think he was just counting on the fact that this guy was mentally disabled, so he wouldn't dare talk, wouldn't dare say anything. Mm-hmm. And he told him not to talk. Told him,
Of course. That's par for the course also, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that is the typical MO, how they do it. Thankfully, this young man did tell. He told his supervisor, he told his mother, and they filed charges, which I'm really happy about. I was like, well, how did you afford Jack? Like, did your dad pay for this?
Right.
Like, his dad won't help him with an apartment or anything, but he hired the most expensive lawyer around? Like, holy crap. So here's what's interesting. He hired the most expensive lawyer, but he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Like, I never met the parents. And this guy was in his 50s, so his parents are older. And sad for the parents that they are dealing with this kind of problem, but I have no idea if that's part of his upbringing
or
if he has a mental disability. I don't know.
And you don't know if this is his pattern and that's why they kicked him out. Like, you don't...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. And he did not want to... So over the next few months, I'd have to go visit with this guy a lot. He never really liked me, which is odd because
that's
what's
shocking.
Not to like?
Exactly. Have you not seen?
I'm only half kidding, Shelly. Because
I know I'm not kidding.
Really like me?
Yeah. You're this little bombshell, blonde little bombshell, like coming in. You're gonna save the day. We've already talked about that. You're like Tinkerbell. Who doesn't like Tinkerbell?
And I'm positive, and I try to make them laugh no matter what they're dealing with. I try to help them, find something funny. Because I
think
truly
that's so
believed. I know it. Because I truly believe no matter what we're going through, laughter, music, even cry, all those things are like pressure valve releases.
I agree.
And because of that, I try.
Better than a fist to the face. Come on.
Exactly. So it was really kind of shocking to me. This guy, I always felt like he really just did not give a crap about me.
Right.
And usually they're hanging on my every word because they would see me way more than they ever saw Jack. They would go months without even hearing from Jack. Mm-hmm. Jack was very, aloof, hands-offish with his clients.
It's kind of like this saying from my mouth to God's ear. So, you're kind of the tunnel to get it to Jack.
Yes.
Like, what tell you goes up the pipeline.
It goes to Jack, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I would tell Jack, hey, this guy's, I can't really get in his head. He would not let me in his head. I've never had a client that I felt like was more closed. I've done murder cases. We've talked about them. And we have another murder case, a big one that we're going to be talking about soon, that is super intense. And how that guy let me in his head.
Yeah.
That was traumatic.
But this guy was happening.
Not even close, not anywhere. And
get your shoes on and get out of the cell, girl. I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to talk to me because I was his defense. That's all he knew for his defense. That's all most of them knew.
Yeah.
Because they would only see Jack in court, and you don't go to court very often. Often enough, anyway. And even at court, Jack really didn't usually find the time to talk to them. Unless they had someone with them, then he would be like, oh, let me explain what just happened. Which felt very phony to me. It felt very phony to me because I knew how he was when they weren't there.
Sure.
He wouldn't give them the time of day, but whatever. So this guy, I know he's not getting the time of day from anyone, but he didn't care about getting the time of day from me. It was so odd. But here's
did
the part that was...
Did he any remorse over the incident or kind of like, been there, done that.
Kind of like been there, done that.
Wow.
Like, whatever. It was very troubling to me. I had a hard time connecting with him because of that. It was almost very apathetic. I wouldn't say sociopathic because I don't think it rose to that level.
It felt good at the time. Get over it.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd tell anyone. This was something that we shared. Hey, this wasn't
something you shared.
He did.
This is something you did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But here's the funny part. In the one time when I went there, we were in the professional booth, and his name was Joe. It's just Joe and I in this booth, right? And they had like this, the glass was such that, so the other side couldn't see into what we were doing, but we could see
on TV.
Mm-hmm. Great glass. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very reflective. Like we, when the lights were not on out there, you could, it was almost like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
But it was glass, but it was like a mirror. And while I'm talking to Joe, okay, this guy is a homeless guy. While I'm talking with Joe, trying to get the facts of his case, how did you get to this place? What's going on? How did you end up here? What defense do we have, Joe? Do we have any defense? Do I have anything? Are there anything I can use to help you? Like, help me help you, right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about all this.
Okay, keep going, but I want to guess what he does, but I'm going to let you, because was he preening? Like, oh, my hair. Oh,
yes.
How am I looking?
You totally got it. Totally got it. And it was so funny because I was so stunned. I could not get his attention because he was so fascinated with himself.
Yeah.
Like, what in the hell is this guy doing? I'm trying to talk about your case, trying to keep you out of prison and to get you out of jail. Uh-huh. And all you can do is look at yourself. It's not like he was a really handsome guy. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, this is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen in my life. If I had asked 1,000 people, okay, this homeless guy and I are sitting in a room and there's this reflective glass and one of us is having a hard time focusing on the conversation, who do you think it is? I'll bet you 999 of them would say me.
Yeah. Well, we're girls, so we're always like, oh, wait, oh, my hair's sticking up right there.
That's my hair. Oh,
I have something to say, though.
Yeah.
So maybe he was disinterested in you because you are a girl. Is he more attracted to guys?
I had like that same thought, too.
He assaulted a man. Right.
Yes.
And then he's preening and looking at himself the whole time and totally dismissive of you. I wonder.
Yeah, I wonder now, the same thing.
Saying that, I am not saying that gay men rape men. I'm not saying that. But I want our audience to understand that. That's not what this is. I was just wondering if he was dismissive of you because of that.
Because
a girl.
Yeah. I thought about that too. That may be. He didn't pay a lot more attention when we were at court with Jack. Like he did. It's not like he couldn't pay attention. That's what was so weird about it. He could. And he did. And he was very smart. He'd spent a couple of years in college and then just decided he didn't want it and dropped out and was homeless. He wouldn't answer one damn question about, wait, you're an intelligent guy. Why are you homeless? Do you have a drug problem?
Yeah.
It was none of my business. None of it was any of my business. Like his level of trust of people was absolutely zero.
Then I have another question. Do you think after working with him, had the janitor been female do you think he would have assaulted her? Do you think it mattered whether it was a guy or a girl, or was it just the opportunity to do this to someone?
My gut tells me he was gay.
Okay.
There was nothing. I know a lot of times like, we can see gay mannerisms. There's some things that I did not see any of that in him.
Okay.
There was nothing flamboyant about him.
Right.
Nothing feminine about him.
And it doesn't have to be, or do you think he was a crime of opportunity because it just happened to be, this was a guy with a disability. If it would have been a girl with a disability, would he have still followed her in and assaulted her?
I think there's a chance of it.
Okay.
But the fact that it was a guy, I think, just made it more appealing to him.
Okay. Interesting. Or more wrong kind of a thing. Like, ooh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the fact that he knew the guy, and that's what, it just breaks my heart that this disabled young man had been like friendly with him and thought like friends.
Polite.
And I don't mean friendly, like in a sexual
acquaintances.
Way.
Acquaintances. Like, no, acquaintances. But, polite. But, are you?
It's my experience with most mentally disabled people is that they are like really, really sweet, very, very trusting and very sweet. So to have someone take advantage to this level
of that innocence,
offensive to my core.
Yeah. And I think to most people's core. Yeah.
Yeah. So I go to Jack and I explain to Jack, like, man, I don't know who this guy is. Like, I do not know Joe. He doesn't trust me. I don't think he trusts anyone, and he will not help with his defense. I mean, he met with me, but he wouldn't tell me anything. And I was like, he really just sits there and like is just kind of like fluffing his hair. And it was just so odd because he was just such an average looking guy.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it doesn't matter whether he was good looking or not. The idea that he was just so disinterested in his defense.
In his future. Yeah.
Yeah, in his future.
But he said, no, don't get me wrong. He did not want to be in prison. He made that very clear. Okay. I don't want to go to prison and I want to get out of jail. And I'm like, well, to do that, you've got to help me help you. Mm-hmm. I need to know, how did you get to this place? Are you gay? Do you have mental problems? Do you mm-hmm. have, why are you homeless? Because like I say, back then, 20 years ago, there were not
nearly. It was usually a mental disability
thing. Sometimes it'd be a drug thing, but a lot of mental health problems.
Yeah.
And so I bring this back to Jack. I'm like, look, we don't have Jack. We don't have anything.
We're diddly squat. Yeah.
Like, and they had video. There was video that showed them coming out of the bathroom, him coming out, and the young man didn't come out for some time. I think because he was so distraught, and it breaks
my
heart.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even imagine that. Horrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jack, because of his name, because of his status, because Jack rarely takes stuff to trial. He would not take it to trial much at all, which I think later hurt him later in his career. Cause you got to go to the mat a bunch of times and kick their butts to have people be afraid of you.
Right.
But I must admit, the deal that he got for this guy was absolutely amazing.
For
they
the guy.
They pled this down for Joe. They pled this down to a plea in abeyance, and not just plea in abeyance, but a plea in abeyance, and he was able to move it with the condition, not just able to, but with the condition that he moves to Chicago where his parents were living. And would be their responsibility. It was like Utah just going, like, wiping their hands. We want nothing to do with this.
I don't think that's right. I think that's either. A bunch of bullshit. Excuse the French.
I thought it was bullshit, too. Like,
he confesses to assaulting a kid, a guy, I don't care how old, sexually assaulting him. Sorry. He didn't even say sorry. He's like, well, just wanted to try it. Wanted to do it. What's to say when he gets to Chicago, he doesn't do this again? And again,
exactly.
And wants to say he hasn't done it again and again. That's not right. Shame
not
on
right.
that. That's where the system is broken.
That's another place it's broken. I point out where it's broken on the defense side when I've got clients, I think. But in this case, I was stunned.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. They're really going to let him go to Chicago without serving time?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a bunch of bullshit.
It is total bullshit. And thankfully, I never heard from Joe again. So I don't know. That's the thing. Did he have to stay in Chicago? Because if he's planning on being homeless, I seriously doubt he'd stay in Chicago. Because holy crap, are their winters cold.
Right,
Utah's not cold, but...
True. But Chicago. Who else will he assault?
Right. Exactly.
You know? And maybe it would be... Well, I was going to be crude here. I was going to say, well, maybe if he was out in a Chicago winter, something would be frozen off. But still... But that's not right. Yeah. Interesting.
Not right. It isn't right.
But like you said, Jack did his job being the defense and got that guy a hell of a deal.
Yes.
But it's not
and
right.
The prosecutor, and my guess is that the prosecutor, they're overworked, is one thing.
Okay.
And another thing, he was probably worried that this young man wouldn't testify well.
Well, and that's probably true. But why do you need him to testify when the guy said he did it?
Well, I'm not sure he confessed
when he was arrested?
I knew.
Because you're... I see. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
Because he barely talked to me, so I'm pretty sure he didn't tell the police, like, yeah, I did it. I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I am positive he didn't do that. That was not in the police reports. What was in the reports were... what he was charged with, what the young man said, and the video that corroborated what the young man said.
Okay.
So I knew that he did it, but I couldn't.
But that's client-attorney privilege.
That's privilege.
Okay, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what the hell just happened? Okay.
Yeah, so I always tell stories that, like, where the defendant gets screwed. In this case, the defendant, and every time, I have said this from the very intro to our podcast, everyone has to do their part. If they don't do their part, justice isn't served. Right. And that means the victim, the defendant, the investigators, the police, the prosecutors, and the defense lawyer. In this case, I think the prosecutor dropped the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I have no idea why, but I'm not happy about it. But
yeah,
I thought it was an interesting case.
Yeah.
I will never, ever forget trying to connect with this guy while he's just looking at himself in the window.
In the mirror. Like, yeah. Yeah.
What the crap?
Yeah. Talk about egotistical. Yeah, for sure.
And he's homeless. Like it was just such a
dichotomy. Like you're homeless, but you think you're Brad Pitt.
This is so weird. My brain couldn't wrap around it. So I thought I'd share it with you guys and let your brains try to wrap around it.
Well, thank you, Pamela.
Yeah, you're so welcome. So hope you enjoyed it. It's just a short little interesting case, but I just think it's fascinating. So
it's fascinating and it made quite an impact in the twist. Like, wait, what just happened?
Thank you for listening to Pamela.